Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart,
one heart,
one mind,
one mind, one soul at a time.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, good morning. I was thinking about the founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore. And he said that prayer is the highest technological tool that we have at our disposal. And I remember one time that I was a student minister when I was in ministerial school. And I was at a particular community. And one of the youth at the community had come to me and said, "You know, James Trapp," I don't know what they called me back then. I wasn't quite a reverend. I probably said Mr. Trapp. And that youngster came to me and said, "You know, I've read this statement that says prayer changes things. And I've been praying really hard, but nothing seems to have changed. Why?" And after thinking about it for a while, I said, "Well, prayer changes people, and it's people that ultimately change things." And I realized that prayer transforms us. And when it begins to transform us, we begin to change and see the world that we want to see. You know, in our Spiritual Life Center mission statement, it says in part that we transform lives as we love, serve, and remember. And one of the key words, of course, is transform. And we must be keenly aware that right off the top, that when we're speaking about transformation, speaking about transforming, we're not talking about changes to the force or changes to the presence of God or changes to the love intelligence that governs the universe. Not at all. We're talking about our own consciousness. We're talking about our relationship to the whole. And now that we know that, isn't it wonderful that we cannot change God's mind? We cannot change this love intelligence mind about
anything.
This is the
offertory for the power of the inward glance.
It's a fantastic thing that you and I can prove upon what God,
thank you for being part of our service today,
is already doing.
As we remember the transforming
power of prayer, it is wonderful and magnificent that God,
as well as the inward glance,
you know, has not answered some of those limited prayers that we had back in the day.
We'll have Ann Roach, Larice Shipley.
I know some of you
Soul
may remember
Light
the show that used to come on years ago.
New music.
I know I'm dating myself.
I look forward to experiencing their
Twilight
musicality,
Zone.
As I am sure
and
you
I faintly
are
remember
as well.
An episode in which an
right
individual
now, is your
on
opportunity
Earth was a gambler.
To spiritual life center.
And,
you
know, used to lose quite a bit, and
to provide
he had made his
transition. For you.
Not
and
just
when he
what
made
his transition, he went to the grand casinos in the hereafter, and he came up to the crap tables. And when he started playing, he rolled a 7 and 11, and he kept rolling 7s and 11. He kept winning and kept winning and kept winning. And he said to all those around him, said, "Man, this place is great. I wonder what the other place is like." And it reminded me that someone said, "Well, this is the other place." And of course, it echoes that statement that says that hell is God giving an individual exactly what they want. And we must understand that life is about change. Life is about growth. Life is about transformation. And in many respects, the universe or God loves us too much to simply leave us alone. It reminded me of a story of a sculptor. And this particular sculptor had gone to a teacher, a shaman, And this shaman had transformed his life, really made it better than he had ever experienced before. And before he left, he wanted to do something to honor him. And so he decided he was going to create a magnificent statue in his honor before he left. So he got a huge boulder, a huge rock, and he cut the rock in half. And he took his tools and he started chiseling on one of the pieces of rock, that half of the rock, and the rock yelled out, "Leave me alone. Don't touch me. I don't want to be, you know, have this happen to me at all." And the sculptor, being, you know, being a lovey-dovey kind of person, decided to get off that rock and started working on the other half of the rock. And after several months, he had created the one of the most magnificent pieces of art that people around there had ever seen. And after he had completed it, people had come from miles around to see it, and he decided that they were going to christen it before their grand opening. And so that people were coming there and, you know, pouring incense on it and oil and leaving flowers around it. And somewhere during the ceremony, the rock that did not want to be worked on said to the other rock, "What gives? All day long, people have been standing on my back. And all the time, you just been getting all this adoration and all this good stuff to you." And the other rock said to him, "Hey, you would not let the sculptor change you. You would not let the sculptor transform you. You would not let the sculptor evolve you to another level. So you have merely become a stepping stone, while I have become a place for beauty to shine forward." I think that's what technology of prayer is about for us. It's about helping us be transformed by the renewing of our mind and having a transformation, allowing that which is emergent within us, wanting to come out within us, does in fact come forward. So when we pray, we're not trying to influence the presence of God. We're here to be influenced by this presence, that we may be more ourselves, that we may be that beauty that is shining forward. This is the transforming technology of prayer. You know, when we listen to the teacher, Jesus the Christ, say in Matthew, the 21st chapter, the 22nd verse, he notes that we should pray believing that ye may have, that ye may receive. And so he's saying, pray believing that ye have already, that you may receive, that you may accept, that you may demonstrate, that you may manifest, that you may be whole, and allow that stuff to reveal you. In other words, you are here to stop and get a clean awareness. And that is our starting point to make us sure that we already are in tune with what the Spirit has already given with us. You know, this past week, I wrote a short blog about the late congressman and civil rights icon, John Lewis. And for those who know a little bit about his life, that for nearly 60 years, he fought for civil and human rights of others through the practice of nonviolent protests based upon the philosophy of Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And despite the violent attacks and other indignities that Mr. Lewis endured during his lifetime, all the time he was being of service to this bigger idea and ideal, he never sought to demean the character of those who opposed him. Congressman Lewis said at one point that, "I believe in forgiveness. I believe in trying to work with people despite our differences." I say that because in the divisive climate that we face today, we could use a little bit more of John Lewis's consciousness and maybe a little bit less judgment of our human beings, our fellow human beings. Now, I have to tell you, it's not easy. I'd be the first to say this to you, because there's lots of material to be judgmental about when it comes to other people. Yet, when we have the urge to judge and it comes up, the first place that we should look is within ourselves. I say that because I've noticed how readily and sometimes negatively there's a tendency to judge our fellows. It's particularly prominent today in the social media platforms that display the depth of judgment and division in this country and even throughout the world. And we're not saying that we should condone these things that are not in alignment with our highest ideas and ideals, those things that need to be corrected, histories of injustice and wrong that are taking place. But part of our prayer work is to not judge from the surface mind, but to use righteous judgment or right judgment. I say that because someone not displaying their divine nature or the better angels of themselves because they're showing up with maliciousness or greed or malice or hate or division. We need to turn within. And as we turn within, we can begin to transform something within us where we realize those things that we are seeing are not the people. Those things are states of consciousness. And when you and I begin to understand and pray aright, we'll no longer see what we think to be a malicious person or judge them to be a greedy person or judge them to be a hateful, divisive person or a manipulative person. That's very easy to do. And it seems so obvious to do that. But when we see with righteous judgment, we will simply see error consciousness. We will see low vibration consciousness. But if you and I no longer identify it with a person or making that person be that, we'll begin to see things differently and we'll see there's a distinction between the consciousness that they possess and the truth of their being, of how they really are. We'll remove all the stuff that may have been accumulated in them. And when we have that right seeing, we can become a beneficial presence everywhere that you and I go. We can become a blessing because we're no longer identifying a person with the debris that's flowing through them. And this is seeing aright. You know, this is what I believe that chaplains do. This is what ministers do. You know, we seek to separate the belief from the believer. In prayer, you know, we may talk to someone and we hear all the chatter and the complaining. We recognize the doubt, the fear, and the worry, and whatever perception of life an individual has. And they know that it's a perception. We know that it's a perception. And that is, it's an experience that individuals are having from that perception. But that perception has nothing to do with what is real and unchangeable. So we have to separate the belief from the believer and see, despite the appearances, the face of God. And our role, I believe, as we go through these times, is to begin to walk and not judge by mere appearances, not judge after the flesh, but to judge righteously, to see with insight. And as we do that, we'll develop a sense of discernment where we'll see the error consciousness, but we won't identify it with any one person or persons or group any longer. You and I will be able to understand those beliefs are things in awareness, things in consciousness that ultimately have no power over us, and they are not enduring. Because we'll see and we'll be deeply rooted in the Spirit of the living God. So that even when events or circumstances don't go our way, or people act out of their true self and away from their true divine nature, it will have nothing to do whatsoever with the divine consciousness that is seeking to operate in your heart and my heart. And when we come from that awareness, our actions and our way of doing will be proper. We'll be in alignment with the high prerogative of the Spirit. We'll be able to see what it is that we want to happen in the world rather than be against anything. But in order to get there, we have to start by turning within. We have to take that inward glance. And there's a power in the inward glance. Again, we hear the teacher telling us in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse, And he says to go to your inner chamber and lock the door and pray to God who is in secret. And God who is in secret will reward you openly. In other words, we're being reminded that when we go within and lock the door, meaning that we're not available to the external world, that you and I are having a contact or a tryst with the Spirit of the living God in secret. You know, I know for many years, you know, people have been coming out of the closet, and that's been a good thing in order for them to be themselves, to be their authentic selves. But in this case, we want to go into the closet. It is, we want to go in that secret place. And then God, who sees us in secret, will see our true self, and we'll see our invincibility. We'll see our power. We'll see our capabilities, and we'll be able to be rewarded openly, because there will be a correspondence to our seeing the presence of God, and our life will begin to take over the timbre and the texture and the vibration of that which is latent within each and every one of us, and also the people that we seem to not like or to judge. There is a power in the inward glance, and this power allows you and me to develop what I call our center of gravity within our very soul, because we're no longer trying to find our balance by leaning on something outside of us or judging on something based upon external circumstances. You know, we may be in a world that's going up and down and going through all the vicissitudes and changes that happen in the world of phenomena, the world of materiality. But it will not affect our peace of mind, because our center of gravity is within our soul, within our true nature. So we may ask ourselves, what are some of the practical things that we can do to help us get there, to get that centeredness, to be able to see with right judgment? How can we get into that kind of vibration? Well, the first thing there is to do is to engage in contemplative prayer and meditation, where we contemplate the sacred scriptures or writings. Maybe sometimes they come from poetry. Perhaps there are musical lyrics. Perhaps there's something that is carrying the voice of the eternal. And what we do, we contemplate those teachings that come from new thought, ancient wisdom, philosophy. We contemplate those teachings of the quantum reality, the unified field where there is no separation. We contemplate it until there is a growing awareness of oneness, a growing awareness of allness, an everlastingness of the eternal nature of spirit. And it's that contemplative aspect of life that we begin to get in tune with. We are in tune with that energetic, and we begin to see from a higher point of view. And then I think, secondly, there's an aspect where we begin to create a way of life that allows for that which has been we've been contemplating to guide us, to motivate us, to direct us. In other words, we may take a statement like, I'm here for God. We may take a statement, I'm here for love. I'm here, we may take a statement that says, I'm here for peace. Whatever the eternal nature of the presence is, this is what my life is dedicated to. And as we begin to do that, we start to watch ourselves through the course of the day. And we notice when we're on or off track, based on allowing that which we have contemplated to become real in our life. And then this becomes how we act in the world. Our actions are congruent with these principles that we believe in, that represent the presence of God. And then we are practicing that fifth principle we talked about at the beginning of the service, that we're taking action, we're taking right action. And as we do that, we can take a look at ourselves and say, yes, I'm here for God. I'm here for peace. I'm here for love. I'm here for wisdom. I'm here for compassionate generosity. And you and I can begin to see exactly what our actions and words and thoughts are in alignment with what we've contemplated ourselves to be, or we can recognize that we're not, and we can make a change. And then that leads to the third prong of this, what I call ladder of spiritual growth and unfoldment, this spiritual prayer and meditation in which we want to become a candidate of. We now have the ability to have greater revelation and insight. We can become a candidate when we have contemplated the truth, develop a way of life that is walking in the direction of what we are contemplating. Now we become available to catch a spiritual insight. We're able to catch a revelation. We have an aha moment about it. No longer is it mere theory. No longer is it just a point of inspiration. Something works in and upon us, and we're able to say, first I was blind, but now I can see. We see because through this contemplation, through this meditation, there is a clearing. We begin to get rid of all of the static that's on the line. You know, I think about Thich Nhat Hanh, and I believe he's a Vietnamese monk. And he reminded us of the power of meditation. He said he was visiting his niece, and his niece was playing with some of her friends. And they had been outside and playing quite a bit. They had gotten thirsty. And when they came inside, you know, the niece said to Thich Nhat Hanh, Uncle Monk, I'm thirsty. And he got out some apple juice and laid out three or four glasses for all the kids to drink. And when it came to her glass, it was full of pulp. And he handed her the glass of apple juice, and she said to him, I don't want that dirty apple juice. And he said to her, that's the good stuff. That's where all the nutrients are. And she stormed out of the room and went back outside and came back a little bit later. And after she came back, she saw that all of the pulp, the apple juice, had settled to the bottom. And therefore, the rest of the apple juice was clear. And she said to her uncle, Thich Nhat Hanh, Uncle Monk, this is what you do when you meditate. You know, that story reminds us that when we engage in that inward glance and meditation and contemplation, we're clearing out all of the static on the line, and we're recognizing that there is only one life, and that life is the life of God. And this life of God is my life, is my everything. And we may say, oh my God, all that I need is already within me. The answers are there. There's a moment when you and I have contemplated the truth, and we have put it into action, that we have made ourselves receptive and available to really knowing and embodying the truth that makes us free spiritually. You know, with that inward glance, we recognize as we judge righteously that there is no other. There's only us. And some of us act in ways not in alignment with the nature of our better angels. And we may see that being played out in our world today. But with the inward glance, we will see the light. We'll be dedicated to the beloved community. We'll be dedicated to the kingdom of the living God on earth, much in the way that John Lewis did in his life, and also is the truth of the mind of God. You know, through this inward glance, we're not trying, as I said, to change God. We're not trying to hate a so-called enemy. Instead, we're seeking to be in that high vibration of the Spirit that is trying to emerge through us and through those who are willing. So we recognize that we're here to be in this transforming technology of prayer and apply it in our life. To understand that we are here to be transformed by not trying to manipulate external events or other people, but to be transformed so that that which is within us takes over our life. We, in this era, are the next step that needs to happen in our evolution. And we start by recognizing there's a power of, first of all, going to that inward glance. When we touch this realm, you and I will discover that there is nothing that is incurable. It only becomes incurable if people are not willing to shift their perception, if we're not willing to shift our perception. But when we're willing to go there, we'll discover that everything that we need is within us. There is no external circumstance that can block our divine destiny. With this inward glance, we will see rightly that you and I are here to reveal the divine ideas in the mind of God, and there is nothing that can prevent it. It does not matter when you were born. It does not matter how you were born. It does not matter who you were born to, how tall you are, what color you are, what kind of education or lack of education you may have. When you are in tune and have this inward glance and you connect with the great presence that is your very life and being, there is nothing that can hinder that which you have agreed to reveal when you signed on to take this human incarnation. Like I said, it is during this time of evolution of our species. When we do that, we begin to bring forth something that is latent within us that is wonderful. It's always happening. We just need to make it the activity and our awareness. So to rush to my conclusion, which is in every sentence that I said to you today, this transforming technology of communion, and we call it by many different names. Some call it spiritual mind treatment. Some call it deep listening. Some call it speaking from that prayerful place. We call it what we will. This inward glance has power. It gives you and me our center of gravity within ourselves and allows us to grow from glory to greater glory. It allows us as a community to do so. It allows us as a nation to do so. It allows us as a world to do the same. And we're birthing that kind of beloved community that even now is seeking to be called in expression by you and by me. And it's through each and every one of us. And we start by going to that inward glance, transforming something within us, and then let that out picture into our world, and we anchor a little bit more of heaven on earth. Take that in your awareness today. Peace and blessings to you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives.